wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Another shout out to WGTD's own and Indian Trail student Natalie Lotha for helping to organize these interviews today. The show is archived on WGTD's website at WGTD.org. Just search Generation Now. Until next time, bye everybody.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of education leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today, I'm taping several segments remotely from my home, and we'll be addressing the fate of an important segment of the education profession, student teachers. Joining me is Dana Ryan, who's the Director of Advanced Professional Development, and in this case, the important role is Certification Officer in the Teacher Education Department at UW Parkside. So we're going to talk a little bit about what the week of March 5th was like for us, but also about, in general, what our student teachers have been going through. And then in the second half of the program, you'll be hearing directly from student teachers about their experiences during this unprecedented coronavirus school closure. So, Dana, hi, how are you?
Hi, doing okay. We're all hanging in there.
Right. So we emailed each other, I believe, on the 12th or the 13th of March, because obviously we are the two major players here in KUSD and RUSD, and any decisions that are made about the K through 12 schools would have an effect on us. And we, you know, we've talked at other times too. So we were trying to figure out, you know, what you were telling your student teachers, what we were telling ours, what we had heard from the Department of Public Instruction. It was quite a week, wasn't it?
It was definitely a week. The first that we had really started to think that this might be a problem was just that week of March 4th, 5th. Where we had some discussions at the university and through UW system deans and directors of schools of teacher education about how this might end up affecting our students. And then it turned into the point where everything changed very quickly, where at first we were uncertain about, oh, well, things might be okay. Things might close, but it'll only be for a little while. We had really no idea that schools would be closing so quickly and how dramatically that would affect our student teachers.
Right. So we were all scrambling at the same time. But what was interesting to me is some of this, you know, we had a little bit of a warning because at Carthage, we actually have a timeline on our website of all the messages that were sent to the whole community. And it started in January. We actually had a message on January 24th and the 27th. From our health advisors in student life, telling us to be careful about hand washing and to just try to stay healthy and to, you know, take our time and do 20 seconds of hand washing. And then by the end of February, we have all of our students that major in a language are required to study abroad, and we offer a lot of languages at Carthage, so there were a lot of students studying abroad. And the study abroad director, Dr. Eric Kulke, his office is just a few doors down from mine. So I would stop in and watch him sort of trying to scramble and being on the phone and trying to figure out what to do with students who needed to come home or if they needed to come home. So that was sort of a beginning hint that something was happening. But the real thing was really the week of March 3rd. It was the first day of that week, I believe. Is that right? 2nd was a Monday.
Yep, and that's when it really started to become real, I think, where everyone was discussing, well, what are the options that we have?
Right. So let's just remind people, what do our students do during student teaching?
So student teaching, in student teaching, they're required to teach in schools for the full day, full time for a full semester, which is usually 18 weeks. It's 18 weeks in RUSD and KUSD. So our students are basically in the classroom full time doing exactly what their cooperating teachers do from the start of the day to the end of the day. After the first couple weeks of the semester, they take on full responsibility for teaching. And so they're creating lessons, creating materials, going to parent-teacher conferences, helping with grading and report cards. So they really become the teacher for those 18 weeks. And that's their final culminating experience before they graduate or before they get their teaching license. So it's really an important situation. And it's where they really get to be comfortable in the classroom by themselves so that when they get their first teaching jobs, they feel well prepared.
Right. And it's for the very lucky ones, it's the end of their fourth year, their senior year in college. But a lot of people end up taking more than 4 years. So it's the mm-hmm. culmination of many, many years of work to be mm-hmm. able to get to this point. They've taken courses in how to teach. They've taken courses in the content that they will be teaching. And also it's a full day experience. So for a lot of them, they have to rearrange childcare. They mm-hmm. have to worry about whether they can continue with the current job they have, because some of them work full time and they obviously can't work full time and teach full time at the same time.
Exactly.
Student teachers don't get paid.
Yes.
So it's a big adjustment. People have had to really prepare for a long time for it, perhaps save up money for it, do all kinds of different changes. And then all of a sudden, just a few weeks into it for you, I believe our students had put in about, they started at the end of January. Did yours start at the end of January too?
Ours did too. Most of ours was January 27th. So that second semester, the third quarter in RUSD, KUSD. And then I think we have a few out in Union Grove. And a few other districts as well.
Yeah, we have a handful that student teach in Illinois because they're from there. And a lot of those schools started in early January because they end their semester at the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, some of them were out a little bit longer, but it was about not quite halfway through their student teaching, really.
Yes, it was right before the halfway point when they started realizing that this might not end in the same way that it began.
Right. So that week of March 2nd, you said that you had a meeting with people from DPI.
We had our UW system, a deans and directors meeting where there was just a brief discussion about it. One of the deans at another UW system school brought it up. And that was the same day that we got an email from our chancellor notifying us that this is becoming a larger issue and that it's something to keep an eye on. And we had no idea that a week later, we would be getting an email from the chancellor that our spring break was being extended by a week, and then all of our classes would be moving online. And then the next day is when the schools, K-12 schools, were closed by the governor.
Right. And that was exactly our timeline as well. Our students left for spring break March 6th was the last day. We reminded them to stay healthy and to wash their hands a lot. And if
yep.
they were going away, to be careful. But the student teachers were still on campus teaching. They were pretty much the only students in our dorms. Probably a lot of your student teachers don't live in the dorms.
Most of us commute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So they were all out there. And then all of a sudden, boom, March 12th, we decided to go online, extend spring break for a week. And then mm-hmm. I started getting calls from student teachers saying, wait, if it's not safe for the rest of them, why do we have to stay in the dorms? And I said, well, you don't have to stay in the dorms, but let's wait and see what happens. And I just had a feeling at that point that it was all going to shut down. I just didn't know when.
Yep, exactly the same here. And mm-hmm. it was scary to tell the student, we have to communicate with the student teachers, but it's been one of the frustrating things of this whole situation, I think, for everyone, is having to make decisions based on information that's changing sometimes hour to hour, not even day to day. Information on that March 13th, Friday the 13th, of course, everything was changing so quickly that we would draft an email and then we would get new information and we have to change that email draft. And some of the emails that we were sending out, I think, went through 5 or 6 different drafts because things were changing so quickly. And the worst part was having to tell the student teachers, we don't know. And we're doing the best we can with what we don't know, and just keep hanging tight and we'll do the best that we can.
Well, Dana, thank you very much. And we'll be hearing from some UW Parkside and some Carthage student teachers in the rest of the hour. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of UW Parkside and Carthage College student teachers during the coronavirus school closures is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So I'm welcoming now a UW Parkside student teacher, Hannah LeClaire. Hannah, tell us, where are you from and what subject and age group are you preparing to teach?
So I'm from Johnsburg, Illinois. So it's actually, I know I'm from across the border, but so it's about an hour from Parkside in Carthage. Mm-hmm. And I'm a music education major with a choral concentration. So I'm studying to be a choir teacher, but we're also certified for general music.
Okay. So what were you most looking forward to about student teaching?
I guess in the simplest of terms, doing it. I don't know. It's just so frustrating. You know, you work on it, especially from a music aspect. We've been working on this music all semester, and like the school that I was at, their trip got canceled, you know, their concerts are going to be canceled, so we learned all this music and now we don't even get to put it on.
Right. Have you thought about trying to do one of those multiple window, everybody records their music and you put it together things?
I wish I could. I was teaching at a middle school.
Oh, right.
So I feel like without that guidance, it would be pretty difficult. Plus, I was at RUSD, which they are not doing online instruction.
Oh,
just because
okay.
A lot of the students don't have that resource.
Okay. So you were at a middle school right when this happened. So when did you first suspect this pandemic might affect your student teaching semester? Like, did you see it coming or was it not at all?
I feel like it all kind of happened at once. I feel like, you know, like, even the kids, someone would cough and they'd be like, oh, it's the coronavirus. You know, like, I feel like none of us really took it seriously until it all, you know, happened at once. So I remember it was actually our first EdTPA writing day, which was on the 12th. So I finished task one and I was like, "Woo, looking good." And I got a call from my mentor teacher and she said that they had canceled, like the principal talked to her and they said basically their trip was going to be canceled. They had a spring break trip to New Orleans and they were going to go perform and compete at Heritage Festival and all these plans. And so she said that was going to be canceled. And I was like, oh no, like, do you think you'll still have school next week so I can record my videos for the EdTPA? And she was like, well, they just sent out an email. Like, I think they're going to still have school. And then like within the next day, they were like, we're canceling school until April 6th. And I was like, oh boy.
Right. So just so the listeners understand what EdTPA is. So EdTPA stands for Education Teacher Performance Assessment. And students have to do three parts. One is to create three lessons with a lot of detail and then reflect upon why they did that and then film those three lessons and reflect upon how the teaching went when they filmed them, and then do an assessment of what the students learned and reflect upon that. And so you were just getting started, it sounds like.
Well, so I had already done all of the lesson plan, basically the entirety of task one.
Uh-huh.
So I had just like finished it, and then my mentor teacher called, so I couldn't do the videos for task two and three.
Right.
So I was like, no, but I was excited about my task one, but
right.
No one will ever see it then.
Right. And so that's one of the conditions for getting a license in the state of Wisconsin. And the same is true of doing a full 18 weeks of student teaching. So one of the things that happened during the week that you were getting shut down is we were trying to figure out, what's going to happen? Will our student teachers be able to finish this semester? So
yeah.
Do you remember hearing about that or what's going to happen with your license?
I remember, so the teachers at Parkside in the education department were, I don't know, they were really good at reaching out to us. Even
mm-hmm.
though they didn't really have the answers. So it was just kind of like, hang tight, like, here's what we're doing, you know, just do what your mentor teacher is doing for now. So we got a bunch of emails like telling us what was going to happen, or like we reached out to the governor and we're trying to figure out what's happening now. So I mean, it was I feel like we were all kind of in the dark, but it wasn't as bad because they were like, you know, we are doing something, but we don't know yet. So,
right. And so what they decided to do was to allow you to do as much as you can if your teacher is trying to teach remotely or anything like that, and that you would be able to earn your license without the NTPA in its current form, which is great because we have a teacher shortage in the state in general. So for people to be able to get their license is important. And so I don't know what that's going to mean for next year or next fall, but it certainly was a worry for all of us. You probably also know you might have some friends who are elementary ed, and they have to take this test called the Fort Foundations of Reading test, and all the testing centers are closed right now, so they can't even. So anyway, that's another complication that probably our listeners don't know about. So have you been able to do anything with remote instruction, or is that just not happening at all?
Well, so for RUSD, so here's the thing about music education too, is you're required to switch placements.
Right.
So I was scheduled to change placements as of the 30th, which is kind of hard. I mean, especially RUSD isn't doing online instruction, and then I'm supposed to switch placements, but it's like, what do I do? You know, like,
right.
Like, I've never met these kids, you know, I can try and like, and I'm going to talk to my second mentor teacher, and we're going to work on some stuff that we could maybe send out just, you know, like kind of like for fun music stuff, because they're not doing online instruction. And I know my other mentor teacher is making little baking videos and like workout videos and posting them on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we aren't really doing that much for online instruction, just because I know a lot of the kids, at least in my teacher's classes, don't have access to the internet or to a device that's right. guaranteed. So
right. And even if your mom has a phone, there's only so much data if you don't have
and you know, mom's got to work from home or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so it is very challenging. I think there will certainly be many studies written about this time, about what happens to the student teachers in the long run, what happens to the kids who miss this instruction. I think all of that has been really interesting. So if there are happen to be parents listening with kids at home, what's one thing you'd like to say to them about this moment?
Well, I would say, to keep things on the more positive side, I mean, I think this is crazy for all of us. So I think one, if you can establish some kind of normalcy, like a routine, you know, something for your kids to look forward to, and just little things like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like staying positive and trying to get some kind of routine, like kind of getting them back on track so that things seem normal, even though they're really not.
Right. Well, best of luck to you, Hannah. I have another guest with us today. This is Hannah Gregory. Hannah, can you tell us where you're from, what subject and age group you're preparing to teach?
I'm from Southern Illinois in a very, very small town called Fairfield, and I teach biology and chemistry, and I plan to teach at the high school level, so grades 9 through 12.
Great. So you were preparing for student teaching for 4 years. I've had you for a student. I didn't say at the beginning that Hannah's a biology major at Carthage. So I know you've been preparing for this for all this time. What were you most looking forward to about student teaching?
I was most looking forward to the hands-on experience, getting to know the students and get to see what it's really like to be in a traditional classroom setting. So obviously in the current situation, that's not what I'm getting, but I did get to experience it, and that's what I was really looking forward to the most.
Okay, so you're a biology teacher. Did this come up in classes before the whole shutdown and all of the threatening things that we've been hearing about started?
Absolutely. My teacher and I had been watching the situation since February, and we were both really concerned about a potential shutdown just because of our knowledge of epidemiology. And a lot of the students, we would hear the word coronavirus probably 2,000 times a day. But unfortunately, with the school climate, a lot of people didn't want us discussing it in class, and because the curriculum was really strict, we couldn't really put a viral section in. So instead, we kind of would take little 5 to 10 minute labs, and we would teach them how to do proper hand washing. We would discuss cleanliness and how to prevent one from getting sick, discuss the use of surgical masks and things like that with students. So we tried to do little health tips like that, where we didn't really get to discuss with them what this was or how it's going to work, which in actuality we didn't really know. We could just make our best guess based on what we know about viral infections. So it did come up a lot. My students were, and that last week, my students were pretty scared, is how I would describe it. They were terrified. They had no idea what was going on. Very confused.
So when did you hear about the schools closing? Do you remember what class you were in, or when it, you know, how it came down to the teachers?
Yes. So I wasn't sure when we in Wisconsin would be closing schools, as we didn't have a lot of cases. But we were hoping that they would close it down. So I'm pretty sure it was the very beginning of March. My cooperating teacher and I were talking, and we're like, yeah, we really hope they close soon to prevent the spread. And we were already kind of making preparations to what we might do for students if that should happen. We were kind of a little bit ahead of the game in that sense. And we were just waiting for it. And the day that it did happen, we watched President Trump's address to the nation about a state of emergency. And we were pretty certain that we would not be coming back that Monday, so we all packed up all of our stuff to take home with us so we wouldn't have to make another trip back to school. And that night at 5, we were notified that we would not be coming back indefinitely.
Wow. So have you been able to do any teaching in this time, or what are some of the challenges of that for high school students?
So the main challenge right now is they're not going to give students credit for any work that we give them online. We are providing them assistance, however, so we're doing our best to try and teach them, and they want us to teach them new material to keep them learning something new. So currently we're moving on into genetics, so we're doing Mendelian genetics with 9th grade bio right now. And it's a whole new learning process for me. You know, I never expected to be an online teacher, but that's what I'm doing. I'm becoming very good at using Google. I use Screencastify to record myself talking about the assignments and helping students walk through problems. And I'm actually learning that online, I've been able to work one-on-one with students maybe a little bit better than in class. Because I can do it at any time in the day, you know, and I answer my emails very quickly. So I've been able to see the pros and cons. It's really difficult when you can't talk to somebody face to face, especially when trying to teach them a new concept like what we're doing. But we're doing our best to cope with that, and we're learning new skills, getting new applications, you know, trying to make as many interactive assignments for students as possible to keep them engaged. But we're really only hearing from maybe 20% of our students, and for a multitude of reasons, whether they just, you know, aren't doing it because they know it's not graded, or maybe they don't have access to the technology, which has been a really big issue. I know the school district right now is currently trying to solve that. They're handing out laptops and trying to get students free trials for Wi-Fi, so that way they can have access to all of these different assignments and enrichment activities. But it's difficult and slow going right now.
So are you and your cooperating teacher, do you have any advanced placement classes?
We have honor students. We have 3 sections of honors, but we do not have AP.
Okay, I was just wondering if you've heard about arrangements for AP testing.
We don't have them ourselves. However, we decided to work in a biology group. So it's me and 3 other biology teachers in the district have gotten together to start making these online activities, as most of us have never really had experience with it. And they kind of brought me on since I'm a little bit more familiar with the online thing, and one of them is an AP teacher, mm-hmm. they're really not sure what they're going to do. Right now, it seems like they're going to have students do an online proctored test, and they're changing the format. There will be no multiple choice. It's all going to be like short essays and responses. That way, there's less likelihood of them being able to cheat. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've heard that they're gearing AP toward. But I know the seniors in general and students that are further in their school career are really worried about what this is going to do to their GPA and their potential of getting into colleges in the future.
Right. I think we're all going to have to make a lot of adjustments around that. if there are parents listening right now with kids at home, is there anything you'd like to say to them about this moment and about sort of what they can do?
So the first thing is just realize everybody's going through this, and this is going to be something that's going to affect our country for years to come. It's going to be universal. Everybody's going to have a different experience. And the best thing that you can do for your children is just make sure that they feel reassured and that they feel like they're getting the help that they need, because they're really confused right now. They're really scared. I see it a lot. My students are just very confused and very worried about what's going to happen to them. So I would just try to keep things as normal as possible at home. Try to keep them engaged in their learning as best as you can. We only provide 1 hour's worth of content weekly for students. That's all we are allowed to provide them. But definitely keep them engaged any other way that you can. Find things for them to do. Don't let them, you know, kind of fall into that pit of not doing anything. Keeping them active will help keep their mind off of this whole situation and allow them to hopefully continue growing educationally.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you, Hannah Gregory, a biology teacher-to-be in a few weeks. What an interesting way to start your teaching career. Thank you for joining us. So our third student teacher guest is Nancy Cornell, who's from UW-Parkside. So Nancy, where are you from originally, and what subject and age group are you preparing to teach?
Yes, I'm from Pleasant Prairie, and I am going to be kindergarten through eighth certified. I am interested in anything between third and eighth grade. If I were to pick a subject to teach in a middle school setting, I would probably go for English or math. And that is a little bit about myself.
Okay. So what were you most looking forward to about student teaching?
I was most looking forward to actually seeing the flow of an entire day from start to finish. When we have our hours and we go in and we observe, we see snapshots and snippets of the day. And I was looking forward to actually seeing what it looks like, you know, prior to the students arriving to school, you know, them initially walking into the classroom, to them leaving, and, you know, just the ebb and flow of the day was what I was most excited to see.
And so when did you first suspect that the pandemic might affect your student teaching semester?
The students are dismissed at noon on Friday. So from noon to four, we usually have like a staff meeting of some sort. Then we collaborate with our team, and then we kind of expand that out to like the fourth, fifth group. So we had a staff meeting the 13th of March, and we had no mention of it. However, there was kind of a growing concern, and you could hear conversations going on between teachers that they were concerned. And then actually Trump had come on and was speaking at 3 o'clock. And we had that on in one of our classrooms, kind of as background noise when we were having a collaboration meeting. And we kind of figured, you know, this is getting kind of serious, because Illinois was thinking about closing and they would, you know, render that decision soon. So we knew that, or we kind of had an idea that perhaps if Illinois had done that, that Wisconsin would be soon behind them. And that's exactly what happened. But I didn't find that out until we left school, because we left at 4. And I think it was announced, I want to say shortly, maybe like 4:30 on that Friday. I don't know the exact time. So we knew it was, we kind of had an idea it was coming. So we discussed what that would look like a little bit.
And did you think to bring your materials that you might need, or did you have no idea what you might need?
I packed up everything. And that's one of the things we said as we left. We said, listen, we don't know what this is going to look like come Monday. So we brought everything. I brought home like Lucy Calkins books to, you know, help teach fantasy unit, as well as my math number corners. I brought home all my binders. So I basically packed up like we were leaving, because we just didn't know what we were going to need. So we kind of looked at the fourth quarter curriculum, and brought home, you know, things that could kind of sustain us if we had to possibly mm-hmm. do something remote.
So you have a cooperating teacher, all student teachers do. So are you collaborating with your co-op teacher during this time?
I am. So we have a staff meeting, which is all teachers at our school, at 9 o'clock on Mondays. Then we have a collaboration meeting, typically, which is on Tuesday, with all the special teachers as well as our pod. And then we have like a implementation or a what we're going to do for that week meeting on Thursday, and then little meetings in between. So we meet quite often about what we're doing, what we're seeing, how the kids are feeling, and just to kind of keep our finger on that pulse. But yes, we meet quite a bit about them.
So what kind of teaching have you been able to do, and what have you liked about it, and what has been challenging?
I will start with the challenging part. I really think that virtual teaching is more difficult than being in a classroom. I think, you know, you worry about the students, you worry about, you know, what you're presenting and that they're understanding it. You're worried that they're just able to access what you're trying to teach. So, you know, I guess I worry about that. So when we started out, we were going to be reading this book. So every day I read a chapter of a book that we're going to be doing for our fantasy unit. And I do it live. So not live, but I do it recorded so they can actually see my face and you know, follow along. So the students really seem to like that. We get quite a few views on my daily reading of a chapter. I had done that the first week. So I continued that on the second week. And then now this week I'm doing a math lesson every day, but it's really difficult because it's hard to introduce new concepts because the math curriculum is difficult. So we're kind of drawing on skill sets that we've already introduced. And then we're going to think about after spring break, which the students are going to be starting tomorrow, about maybe introducing some of those new concepts and maybe trying to see what that looks like for them. Because now all the students have been distributed technology if they need it. So now we should be up and running even more than we have been now that the technology has been distributed to those families that have expressed need.
Okay, so yeah, I would have to agree with you because I'm still teaching college students, and even though they're adults they understand how the technology works and pretty much all of them have access, I find it very difficult because the in-person part of it is just sort of the community that you create, and it's just so hard to replicate that online. That's what I'm finding.
I completely agree. And I have two college students under my roof as well as two high school students. So believe me, I understand the struggle because it's difficult. I mean, you know, and you got to take the learning styles of, you know, my own children under my own roof who, you know, some really need to be in that college classroom getting that material firsthand. Well, one of my other sons is really good remote. So, you know, I think it comes down to learning styles for those individuals as well and how they, you know, best learn. And again, I'm not sure that we always remotely get to access those different learning styles, which is kind of unfortunate, but it's what we have right now.
Right. So you're a parent. There are probably parents listening to this. What is one thing you'd like to say to them about this moment in their children and family's life?
You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, you have to take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally in this time. So my own advice, you know, under my own roof, as well as what I've given to some of the students, is, you know, you need to get out, you need to have those physical breaks. You need to get out and walk. You need to be outside. You need to connect with the people, you know, that you're able to connect with in any capacity that you can. And, you know, and academically, we try to carve out time. But again, you know, schedules are off. Technology isn't always friendly. So, you know, I think you got to give yourself a break. I think you got to, you know, allow yourself to know that this is not going to go the way you envision it, that this isn't going to go smoothly all the time. Sometimes it will. And I think, you know, for me, just being a parent, I've, you know, kind of given myself some pardons on my, what I expect this to look like and what this actually does look like. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the best thing, best advice we can give parents is, you know, being a parent myself, as well as, you know, a future educator, you know, don't be hard on yourself. You know, this is new to everybody. You know, teachers haven't done this before. Parents haven't done this before. We are all on a huge learning curve. And that would be my advice.
That's great. Thank you, Nancy Cornell, elementary ed student teacher from UW-Parkside. Our fourth student teacher that I'm welcoming today is a music education major at Carthage College, and her name is Darian Hiller. Hi, Darian. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
So tell us where you're from. I just said your music education. What age group or special area in music are you preparing to teach?
So I am from Hoffman Estates, Illinois, and I am music ed. I'll get certified in all ages, K through 12. Right now I'm doing my student teaching at an elementary placement. This last quarter I was with a middle school. I think professionally I'm leaning towards going into elementary, but I'm open to all ages, and my certification, I will be able to teach anything in music. However, I'm leaning towards doing general music and choral. Okay. I'm also a music theater major as well. So I have been, well, I was supposed to help direct the school musical at one of my placements too, but.
Oh, and there's another thing you didn't get to do. So my next question was, what were you most looking forward to about student teaching? I bet that was one of the things.
That definitely was one of the things. I was really excited for that. We were going to do Jungle Book, and that was going to be so much fun. But I mainly was just most looking forward to especially the elementary placement and seeing if I really loved and enjoyed it as much as I thought I would. I have had a lot of experience working with kids with different camps and with my own younger siblings, but I was just looking forward to having that day-to-day experience in the classroom every day and seeing what that was like.
Mm-hmm. So when did you first suspect that the pandemic might affect your student teaching semester?
Well, when I first heard about the pandemic, it was, so at my last placement, I was at Mahone Middle School, and the high school, Indian Trail, literally right across the street, their choir was going on a field trip over spring break doing a tour to Spain. And once things started getting bad in Italy, then everyone was freaking out about that trip, thinking that might get canceled. And then once those rumors were flying around, then rumors kind of started flying around Mahone too, like, oh no, what if this is going to get really bad here? What if everything gets canceled? And once the school district decided to shut down all field trips so our students couldn't go to the St. Louis competition or anything, that's when I really started thinking they're probably going to cancel everything.
Mm-hmm. And you were right. Do you remember what that day was like when you heard about it?
It was so weird. We had just, so it was a Friday, and on Fridays, the students leave earlier, and the teachers have an afternoon meeting at the end of the day, and I remember the whole topic of that meeting was just, what do we think is going to happen? At that point, nothing had been announced, and I remember the principal thought that this was just a guess, but her thought was that we would meet on Monday and have everyone get our stuff, say goodbye to the students, and then we would just have school canceled from there. But that was just a thought. So we left for the day. We all said bye. See you Monday. I think I had gotten home, and about an hour or two later, I got the email saying that school is canceled. We aren't even coming back on Monday. This is it. School's canceled until further notice. And that was just really weird. That's when it really hit me that I wasn't going to see these students again. I didn't really get to say goodbye. And I remember just staring at my screen in shock for a few minutes, and then I just cried.
Wow. Yeah. And that's really a rough way to end, too, because, you know, you've really gotten to know the students over those few weeks of teaching.
Definitely.
So now you actually, most students have been trying to continue to work with the same teacher and to try to do whatever online work is happening, but you actually switched your placement from middle to elementary school. And tell the listeners what kind of teaching you've been able to do in your new elementary placement.
Yeah, so we have been doing a series of online videos. We've been putting them up on YouTube. We are also going to be making a running document with what all of the assignments have been that we'll send out. But we thought that doing videos would be a more fun way to teach music than just handing them a worksheet, because it's so much about the experience of seeing people and making music together and having fun, and you just can't really get that through a worksheet. So we've been making these YouTube videos. So far, there's just 3 videos out, but we already have another one coming out soon, and we're doing about 2 a week. So first, we did one with the Hello song, which is a song that my cooperating teacher starts off every lesson with, and that's how we introduced me into the videos, because the students haven't met me. They were aware I was going to come, but I haven't met them, so we sang the Hello song to introduce me, and then we just did a Disney lesson, and that was so much fun. This assignment was really just to sing your favorite Disney song, act it out, dress up if you want to. So I did parodies of 3 different Disney songs, and my cooperating teacher, Mr. Kaiser, and his son were in that video too, and his 1-year-old son really stole the video. It was cute.
It was very cute. And for the listeners, if you go to the WGTD Education Matters Facebook page, I am going to link to the SC Johnson School music page, because you got to see some of these videos. They're really great. So is there anything that you would want to say to parents in this moment about, you know, what you wish you would have been able to do, or how to make the most of the time that they have at home?
Yeah, I think for making the most out of time at home, just try to keep your kids as engaged as possible, not just with the schoolwork they're getting, but I myself have younger siblings who are in kindergarten and preschool, and they have so much energy, and having them home all day has been exhausting for me and for my dad, but it's been really fun. It's been a really fun opportunity to help them with their schooling and teach them new things. And we've been doing lots of crafts, and they've been making crafts that they want to send to their teachers because they keep saying how much they miss their teachers. And lastly, parents, when the teachers say that they really miss their students, that's true. They really do miss their students. I wasn't really expecting to miss being in the classroom as much as I have been. It's been really weird not being there.
Well, that's a somewhat poignant note to end this show. So I appreciate, thank you, Darian.
Thank you.
And thanks to our other guests, Dana Ryan from UW Parkside, Hannah LeClaire, a student teacher from UW Parkside, Hannah Gregory, a student teacher from Carthage, Nancy Cornell, a student teacher from UW Parkside, and of course, Darian. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of UW Parkside and Carthage College student teachers during the coronavirus school closures is archived at wgtd.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.